If it's October, which it is, then it must be ADHD Awareness Month, which it is. And if it's ADHD Awareness Month, it must be time for TED Talks from Ada. They're kind of like TED Talks, but shorter, snappier, ADHD friendly, if you will. And this year, they're all about executive function. You know, that front part of our ADHD brains that helps us plan and prioritize, remember what we're doing, following through, or not. So here's your chance to hear from 31 different experts. It's just another way Ada supports adults with ADHD. Let's listen in.
Hello, and welcome to TED Talks with Ada. I'm Lori Dupar, trained nurse practitioner, professional credential coach, and certified ADHD life coach. I'm excited Ada invited me to be with you today to share with you what I have learned from 20 years of being an ADHD life coach. A little over 20 years ago, my youngest son was diagnosed with ADHD. I was a mental health practitioner and didn't know how to help him. That was my ADHD moment, the moment ADHD came into my life and everything changed. I wonder what was your ADHD moment when ADHD came into your life? The thing is, our lives change when we know a loved one or we have ADHD. Not necessarily for the worst, although it can initially seem that way. However, over time, learning how your unique ADHD brain works and applying new strategies that work with your brain make all the difference. Most people with ADHD say they wouldn't trade their brains for a neurotypical one. Personally, I agree. Over 20 years, I have learned that my husband, three children, and myself all have ADHD. If I'm honest, I think I could add siblings, nieces, nephews, parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and grandchildren to that list. I come from a long line of ADHD, most of whom never knew or didn't know or didn't want to know. My children inherited this brain style from my husband or me, and most likely their children will inherit it from them. ADHD is how we live and go through the world. Never a dull moment, sometimes frustration and overwhelm, and always, always a good laugh. I have learned that ADHD is still one of the most misunderstood medical conditions. I would never have imagined 20 years ago that I would still be getting the same emails from people worldwide who feel helpless and hopeless with ADHD, struggling to find resources and services. People struggle alone, blaming themselves for their mistakes and failures, not knowing ADHD is a medical condition, no different than heart disease or diabetes. We might as well be apologizing for needing corrective lenses to see or an inhaler to treat asthma. ADHD is not your fault. It's nobody's fault. It is who you are. Absolutely, it has its challenges. However, it also has its unique strengths that we can leverage. I have learned over 20 years that the changes in the treatment of ADHD are slow going. The two stimulants used to treat ADHD, amphetamines and methylphenidate, were first developed in 1887 and 1937. Methylphenidate was first used to treat children with ADHD-like symptoms in 1960. These two active ingredients are still the primary treatment for ADHD. Sure, they have been repackaged into longer-lasting capsules, liquid, and patch options. However, for about 80 years, nothing new has emerged that has been as effective at minimizing the symptoms of ADHD. Oh, and after 20 years, if you still don't know why the primary, I still don't know why the primary medications used to treat ADHD are called stimulants. So if you know, please let me know. I've learned that not many people understand that ADHD is genetic. If you or a loved one have ADHD, someone in your biological family has ADHD. Unfortunately, when we don't know we have ADHD, we make up meaning to our biological family's behavior that may not be true. The impulsivity of a family member that landed them in a car wreck or even jail can be blamed on that person being a bad seed. The relative that drinks too much or has even lived with a label of an alcoholic most likely has been trying to calm their hyperactive brain for years. This is the same as the family member who self-medicates with cigarettes, caffeinated drinks, excessive exercise, or food. All of these in some ways are attempts to manage the symptoms of ADHD to increase the dopamine in the brain to be able to think clearly. I have learned that ADHD is a global challenge. Percentages range from 3 to 11% of people worldwide who have ADHD. ADHD does not discriminate based on culture, age, race, gender, socioeconomic level, sexual orientation, or religious beliefs. People worldwide may not have access to resources on ADHD, primarily provided in English. So if you or someone you know has the gift of speaking multiple languages, I encourage you to consider translating current resources into your native language to benefit your community. I have learned that ADHD has many coexisting conditions, including depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders, and traumatic brain injury. It is not a benign condition. It's not just being a little bit forgetful. ADHD significantly impacts people's ability to be their best academically, professionally, personally, and socially. Without treatment, the coexisting conditions can lead to even more serious outcomes. Dr. Barkley insightfully called ADHD a public health crisis. Unfortunately, it seems to have fallen on deaf ears. Having untreated or inadequately treated ADHD can put someone's life at risk. I have learned that the number of practitioners that have experience with ADHD is relatively few. I am still not exactly sure why. It might have to do with the limited education practitioners get on ADHD. Pediatricians have told me this can be as little as 2 hours in a medical student's 8 hours of training. This makes it difficult to diagnose and treat patients with ADHD accurately. Considering this, if you're looking for a diagnostician or prescriber for you or a loved one, I have found that professionals with a personal experience with ADHD who have spent a great deal of time in pursuit of understanding and treating ADHD are the best providers. I have learned that people with ADHD and their practitioners speak different languages. Practitioners are taught about the ADHD trifecta, impulsivity, distractibility, and hyperactivity, and thus expect to hear their patients using that language to describe their ADHD. Instead, people with ADHD will say they can't finish what they start, they often leave work meetings early due to restlessness, forget and leave the stove on, have piles of laundry in their house, are in financial trouble, and are concerned about losing their job, not finishing school, or a relationship ending. Tying the symptoms we experience to that trifecta can help you communicate your symptoms a little bit easier to your diagnostician so they will hear them. I have learned that the best way to feel at home and comfortable in your own skin with ADHD is to be with others. I guarantee it will be like coming home. People with ADHD just get people with ADHD. We get each other's concerns, challenges, failures, and disappointments. We get how each other's brain works and can empathize and laugh at the unimaginable situations we find ourselves in. I have learned that we are diagnosed with ADHD when we can no longer compensate. I call this our ADHD tipping point. It explains why people with ADHD are diagnosed at different ages. Sometimes people as young as 3 are diagnosed and sometimes at 88. When we or someone else on our behalf seeks out a diagnosis is when the strategies we have been using to keep our ADHD managed no longer work. It also tends to be connected with a change in our lives. This change might be everything to a new family member, a new environment, a new job, an injury, etc. All of these can, in some way, imbalance someone with ADHD. The inability to compensate is often a surprise as people have been able to keep things relatively sane up until that point. I've learned that one of the most challenging symptoms for someone with ADHD is time blindness. It isn't directly improved with ADHD medication. However, ADHD medications can help with many of the symptoms. It can help us be aware of the increased number of timekeeping devices in our environment. The pretty clocks for decoration are excellent. However, the clock on the stove is not enough for most people with ADHD. So put clocks everywhere. Anywhere you can glance in your environment, a clock needs to be there. The bathroom, the shower, the laundry room, garage. I've learned that every person with ADHD has brilliance inside of them. Over my career, I've met thousands of people with ADHD. Every one of them has that brilliance. Often they don't recognize it. People with ADHD seldom do. Often it is dismissed with, doesn't everybody do that? No, they don't. Everybody else doesn't sit down to a piano and write a musical ballad. Not everybody can take silver and rocks and turn it into a gorgeous necklace. Not everybody can pick up a golf club at 20 and 3 years later be a golf pro. No, not everybody feels the emotions of others like you. Your empathy and compassion are unmatched. Not everybody goes from almost failing high school to graduating summa cum laude in college. You are unique and brilliant. I hope you realize your brilliance and let it shine. I have learned that the answer to what should I do or what job would be best for someone with ADHD is what they are passionate about, challenged by, and interested in. Persons with ADHD can take what I call the scenic route to growing up, becoming independent and finding their zone. And I have not met a single person with ADHD who loves their work and life if it reflected what they were interested in, challenged, and passionate about. This is where people with ADHD thrive. Where do you thrive? I have learned that we are not born with procrastination. It's learned. We procrastinate with ADHD because the urgency activates our adrenaline system, which activates dopamine in our brain. We can then focus, pay attention, and get things done. I have learned that the way to ultimately decrease the stigma and lack of awareness of ADHD is to talk about it. Talk about your ADHD and your experience with ADHD with others. Share your stories. Ask people about theirs, and you may be surprised to see how many people have similar experiences to yours. When you talk confidently without apology or shame about ADHD. There's no need. When we talk about ADHD, we bring it out of the shadows and into the light. There's no place for shame or stigma in the light. I have learned there is hope, that the professionals chosen to work with people with ADHD are a very dedicated bunch. Many have worked towards a better understanding of ADHD for decades, whether physicians, mental health practitioners, educators, coaches, we're all working to improve the stigma, awareness, and successful management of ADHD. The community of ADHD is a close-knit one and embraces new members. If you have recently been diagnosed, let me be one of those professionals who has the pleasure of welcoming you to our tribe. 20 years ago, I couldn't have imagined I would still be passionate about being an ADHD life coach. Often I worry I'm not doing enough, and then I hear from a client or a student from the IX Center about how working together has changed their life and how they are using what they learn to help others. ADHD life coaches are the gold thread helping to pull the educational, professional, and personal areas of their clients' lives back together. It is a profession ideal for many with ADHD, the chance to use their experience, interest, and passion to help others. The final thing I've learned over 20 years as an ADHD life coach is that I am incredibly fortunate. Every day I get the chance to make a difference in the world by serving people with ADHD. I hope that in 20 more years, I will have the opportunity to reflect on what I have learned again.
Hey, congrats, you did it. Listen to the entire TED Talk. And if you think this is great info, there's even more at the 2022 International ADHD Conference. It's a hybrid conference that happens November 16th through the 19th, live in Dallas, Texas, simulcast on the web as a virtual event. Find out more at ADDA, that's ADD.org, where you can catch ADHD webinars, join peer support groups, and get ADHD classes. It's truly priceless, but membership costs less than $8 a month. Okay, enough of the chatter. We'll see you tomorrow with more executive function information.